Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the seat in front of you. And you can find Matthew chapter 6 on page 811 in your Bible, I believe. This is our second week in kind of a mini-series that we're doing on prayer. And we're looking at the Lord's Prayer as an example. And so I have been privileged with kind of the middle section. So about a week or two ago, when Pastor Luke asked me if I would be willing to preach and he gave me the verses that I would be preaching on, I had to just sit and think and meditate and pray on the text this morning, because if I'm being honest, most Christians are so familiar with the Lord's Prayer or with prayer in general that nothing I could stand up here and say about prayer is going to be extremely new to anyone who has been a Christian for any amount of time. I could tell you that confessing sin should be a part of your prayer life, and no one's going to be shocked at something that they've been missing for so long. That's just not likely to happen if you've been a believer for any amount of time. And we have so many ways to help us remember what we should be praying. We have the acronym ACTS, which is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. We know that we should confess sin. We know that we should thank God for his goodness. For the most part, we know what prayer should look like. And yet, if we're being honest with ourselves, there is a very real struggle in most of our lives when it comes to prayer. Either we struggle with being consistent in our prayer life, or although we know what prayer should look like, we might find it difficult to think of specific things for our own life to pray about. And so if it is true that most of us know what prayer should look like, know what we should be praying for, and yet we still struggle to pray, it kind of reveals to us that there's something deeper going on than simply a lack of understanding about prayer. I think the problem, it's not so much our understanding of what we should be praying for, but rather our understanding of who God is and of who we are in comparison. Very few of us struggle because we don't know how to pray. I'm not saying that nobody struggles with that, but very few of us. I think the majority of us struggle because we have a poor view of God and a poor view of ourselves, and that makes prayer unnecessary. And we're not going to say that. We wouldn't say that prayer is unnecessary, but we live as though it is. And so before we get into verses 11 and 12, which is where we're going to be in the Lord's Prayer this morning, I feel like we need to do a little background work and get some things straight that might help shift our perspective so that we can think rightly about prayer. And so there's two things that I want to kind of highlight before we get into the text. The first thing, and we saw this last week in the first half of the prayer when Pastor Luke preached, it's that your life does not belong to you. Life, it's not about you. Okay, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. And the second thing, and this is what we're going to be spending the majority of our time on this morning, is that we are extremely needy people, both physically and spiritually. And so those are the two things that we kind of need to get clear if we're going to have an understanding of our text this morning. And I want you to see that I'm not making this up. This comes from the Bible, and we see it clearly in the Lord's Prayer. And so as we read the prayer, we're going to read the entire prayer, not just the two verses that I'm going to be talking through. And then once we read the prayer, I'm going to spend a little bit of time in prayer, and then we're going to talk about those two things that I just mentioned. And so Matthew chapter 6, if you haven't turned there yet, please do so. We're going to be using our Bibles this morning. Not that we don't use it any other week, but a lot of times we have the verses up on the screen. This week, you'll just follow along with me in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. It says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is God's word, and let's pray. Father, we are needy people. We are reliant upon you for everything. I am reliant upon you even as I stand up here bringing your word before your people. I need your grace. I need your wisdom. If I'm going to say anything that is going to be used by you in the lives of these people, Father, teach us. Teach us what it means to rely upon you. Change our perspective. Shift it from ourselves back to an understanding that you are ultimately in control of everything and you sustain and provide for all of our needs. It is so easy for us to begin to rely upon ourselves. Father, change that perspective for us this morning as we look at the Lord's Prayer. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ and for the joy of your people. Amen. Now, we just read the passage. We just read the entire prayer. And so I want to show you what I'm talking about from the text here. In order to do that, we need to, like I said, look back real quick into what Pastor Luke talked about last week out of the Lord's Prayer. He walked us through the first two verses. And if you haven't listened to that sermon, it's important that you do so. You can go to our website. You can look it up and listen to it there, because I don't have enough time to talk through everything that Pastor Luke covered. But if we are going to understand our text this morning, we need to be reminded of or kind of summarize some of the things that Luke talked about last week. And so we're going to just read verses 9 and 10 quickly and talk about it a little bit. Says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, as you look at that portion of the prayer, can you see how these verses show you that your life is not about you? You belong to God, and your purpose in life is to bring him glory. We see in the first two verses, may his name be lifted high. May his kingdom come. His will be done. It's not about you. Now, if your life did belong to you, which it doesn't, but if it did, prayer would not make much sense. If life is about me, why would I need to praise someone else? If life is about me, why would I need to confess sin? If life is about me, then why would I need to be delivered from temptation, as we'll see in the next week's passage? Because I'm the one who determines what's right and what's wrong for my life. But because we are God's creatures, our purpose in life is to worship him, which means that every situation we find ourselves in, every conversation that we have, every relationship that we take part in must be thought about from the perspective that you exist for the glory of another. And if you fail to see this truth, if you fail to see that God is glorious and that you exist for his glory, everything exists for his glory, then your prayer life, it's going to suffer. We need to begin by seeing God rightly. And that's the whole point of the text that we looked at last week. And if we miss that, we completely misunderstand the second half of the Lord's Prayer as we get into that this morning. And so that's going to lead us into our passage, because not only does the Lord's Prayer, it compels us to think rightly about God and our relationship to him in comparison, but it also reveals to us how needy we are, how dependent we are upon God for everything. And so follow along with me as we look at the Lord's Prayer and how it leads us to think rightly about ourselves. We're going to read verse 11 now. It says, give us this day our daily bread. This is an interesting request that Jesus lays before us as an example in prayer. It shows us how needy we are as people. When he taught his disciples to pray, which is what he's doing here, such a simple request as asking for a loaf of bread, it would not make sense unless we were utterly dependent upon God for every need, even the smallest of our physical needs. It reveals a truth about us that we tend to forget. So as you go to lunch, maybe after church with your family, and as you sit down and pray together before you eat your meal, and you thank God for your food, we all do it for the most part, right? Thank you for the food, bless it to our bodies. But that prayer, it's almost become more of a routine than an actual understanding of our dependency upon God. Do you ever actually stop and think about what should be taking place in your heart as you pray that prayer? God, he provided you with a meal. And if he would not have provided you with a meal, then you would not be eating it. I think this is a hard one for us to understand in this society because we tend to have so much. To think about asking God to provide for a loaf of bread, it kind of seems ridiculous. And it seems ridiculous because we don't ultimately see ourselves as needy people. And so what we need to understand this morning is that you cannot control everything required to guarantee that you're able to support your family. You cannot set everything in place to ultimately assure that your kids will always be healthy. You have no way of ultimately making sure that your physical needs will be met. So prayer, it requires us to see that reality. We are needy people. And as you think about that, that's a very humbling thing as a father to think that you in and of yourself are ultimately dependent upon God to provide and protect your family. As a mother, to know that you ultimately cannot control whether your children will always remain safe from harm. This is the reality that we live in. And even as I was thinking about this, as I was preparing, there were things and thoughts going on in my own heart that I can anticipate might be going on in some of your own hearts as well. And so I just want to point this out. Some of you might be thinking, yes, I know it's ultimately true that everything comes from God, but really, we're doing great as a family. We have good jobs. We have a home. I'm pretty sure that we have everything we need to keep food on the table, have a roof over our heads and clothes on our backs. Even if a disaster were to take place, we've got the Dave Ramsey emergency fund to make sure that we're okay through that. We know God provides for our needs, but it doesn't seem like we are that needy when we think about it sometimes. And if that's what's going on in your mind, if that's what's going on in your heart, it's exactly why you probably struggle in your prayer life. You probably struggle to trust God by coming to him and asking him to sustain those things in your life. First of all, praise God that he is providing for you and for your family, but also realize that none of it ultimately comes from you. I think for the most part, somewhere along the way, we stop seeing ourselves as dependent upon God. We think we have it all figured out. The budget's good. The savings plan is great. We're taking large chunks out of the mortgage each month. And as we begin to think that way, we begin to shift our perspective and start thinking in terms of our own personal accomplishments and achievements rather than understanding that we are dependent upon God for all of those things. And as that perspective shifts and gets twisted, slowly we have less and less reason to come before God to meet our needs. And we stop trusting in his grace to provide for us or to sustain what he has already provided for us. And that's not how we were wired. That's not how we were created as mankind. We were created to be dependent upon God. We were created to rely on him to sustain our lives. But sin, as we struggle with sin in our lives, it distorts our understanding of God's provision for our lives. Sin turns what God has given us graciously into something that I have earned or something that I have accomplished on my own. And so that kind of leads us into the second half of our text this morning, as we realize that not only are we relying upon God for all of our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs, as we struggle with sin and as sin distorts our view of our dependency upon God. And so Jesus says in verse 12, as we continue on, so give us this day our daily bread, and then verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Again, think with me. Prayer makes little sense if we are not utterly dependent upon God for our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs. As we look to the example of the Lord's Prayer, we see that prayer reminds us of our sinful condition, of the sin that we live in, the condition that we live in. Every single area of our lives is corrupted by sin. Our desires are not what they should be. Our thoughts are not what they should be. The way that we act is not how we should act often. And the one thing that we desperately need, which is God's forgiveness, we have in and of ourselves no capacity to earn. And so if we think that we can earn forgiveness from God, it shows us yet again we have a poor understanding of who God is and who we are in comparison. And I just want to stop and kind of think about that for a second, because I can anticipate that there may be people in here who think that they can earn their way to God. They might be thinking this way, that they can earn forgiveness. And so I just want to point out maybe one or two reasons why you might be thinking that way, and kind of help shift your perspective back to how the Bible talks about forgiveness. So one of the things that I think is a big reason why we think we can earn forgiveness with God is because we spend most of our time not comparing ourselves to the holy standard of God, but comparing ourselves to the actions of other people. So we look at this person, we say, I'm not as bad as him. Or we look at her and we say, I would never do what she just did. And when we do that, it's so easy to fool ourselves into thinking that we have it all together, because we're setting before us a standard in which we're comparing ourselves to the sinful actions of other people. But instead, here's the scary part, if that's the way that you find yourself thinking this morning. Because God, he does not only look to the actions, but he sees your heart. He hears your thoughts. He sees the angerness and the bitterness and the jealousy that's going on inside of you, the sin that you try to hide from others, and you probably do a pretty good job of it, but he sees it. He knows the sin you hide. And so if you think that you have forgiveness with God because you think you're better than those around you, you aren't seeing yourself rightly. The Lord's Prayer, it shows us that we are needy and we must rely on God's daily grace and forgiveness, because compared to God's holy standard, because compared to God's holiness, we fall way short because of our sin. And as you think about that, I want you also to notice something in the text, because I don't want you to hear what I'm saying and say that, well, then if we're just relying upon God's forgiveness and grace, then it doesn't really matter what we do. There's grace every day, and we can just ask for forgiveness, and so our actions don't matter. But what Jesus does here in this verse is he shows us that there's a very real connection between being forgiven by God and extending forgiveness and love and kindness to others. So God's love towards us, it compels us to love others. It says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. There's a connection. And so it would be a contradiction for us to cry out to God as we confess sin and as we rely on his forgiveness and yet be unwilling to extend forgiveness and love and kindness to others. It makes no sense that we would see the depth of our sin and then treat others as if we are far better than they are. So as you come to this understanding, it changes your perspective. But what happens to many of us is that we begin to lose sight of our daily need of God's forgiveness. We become less willing to forgive others as we do that. And as we become less willing to forgive, we begin to keep a record of the wrongs that others have done against us. And then we start looking and become more aware of the shortcomings of others. And it causes us to become irritated or impatient with them. And before we know it, our life is marked by what others owe us, the debts that others owe us, instead of an understanding of the massive debt that we owe God and the debt of sin that we have sinned as we sin against other people as well. So we lose awareness of it as our perspective shifts off of how God's word shows us to understand these things versus how we tend to look at them. And so this is the whole point of the parable of the unforgiving servant that Jesus talks about in Matthew 18. If you, we're going to read the parable, so if you want to just flip over a couple pages in your Bible to Matthew 18, it's 823, page 823 in the Pew Bible. We're going to read the parable together, and I just want to read it so that we can have a visual of what I'm talking about here. So Matthew chapter 18, we're going to start in verse 23 and we're going to read through the end of the parable in verse 35. It says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So as we look at the account of the unforgiving servant, this was a man who had lost sight of the magnitude of debt that he owed towards the king. And as a result, he became obsessed with a rather small debt that his fellow servant owed him. If this man had truly understood how reliant he was on the grace of his master, he never would have responded the way that he did towards the other servant. And so when we come to understand our spiritual neediness before God, it changes us. It changes our perspective. It changes the way that we relate to other people. As you begin to discern the sin in your life, you quickly realize that you need the forgiveness of God daily, and you need the forgiveness of others daily. And if you're a believer, every day God pours out that grace upon you, and every day you need that same grace from others. And so the Lord's Prayer, it reminds us of the reality of our lives. We are sinners living in relationship with other sinners. Whether it's in our families or in our community groups, or even here this morning on Sundays together, prayer reminds us, it reminds us of the context in which we live. We're needy people. We're living in relationship with other needy people. And just as you have received the grace of God, which you did not deserve, you have been called to give that grace to others who have not deserved it. And as we understand that truth, suddenly we have so much to pray about. We have much to confess. We have much to rely upon God's grace for. And what I think is so amazing about prayer is that God is asking the needy to come to Him. He wants to hear from us. If we think about our own lives, we can all probably think of that one person who it seems like if they're not complaining about something, they're thinking about something to complain about. Or if they ask one favor of us and we do it, then they come to us over and over with a never-ending list of favors that they ask of us. They're the kind of people that when we see them, we tend to run the other way because we know that if they see us, we know how it's going to go. And yet, God is not like that. He calls us to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him in prayer because He is our gracious Father, like Pastor Luke talked about last week. We have a gracious Father, and He knows how truly reliant upon Him we are. And the Bible, it's filled with passages that are calling us to come to our Father with our spiritual and our physical needs. And I want to kind of, as we wrap things up, I just want to look at a few of them. I want to spend some time going through them because I think sometimes when we see the reality of how glorious and wonderful God is and we understand our own sin and our own neediness, it can cause us to respond kind of like David did in Psalm chapter 8 when he wrote, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you care for him? Who are we compared to this great and mighty God that he would want to hear us?" And so I just want to take a moment and look at the reality that although we are such dependent creatures, our Father delights for us to come to Him. He delights to extend grace to us as we struggle with sin in our lives. He delights to meet those spiritual needs, and He also delights to meet our physical needs as well. And so just listen as I read a couple of these passages. They're not going to be on the PowerPoint, so if you want to write them down, some of the references, and then look them up later again if you want, then feel free to do that. And before I get into them, I just want you to know there are so many more that we could be looking at this morning. We don't have time. There's probably hundreds, and we only have time to look at a couple, but the Bible is filled with these passages. And so the first one that I thought of, we just finished up a series on Philippians a month or two ago. And so the first one that came to mind was Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Another one is James chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." Psalm 34, 17 says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then finally, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. It says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As we think about that, it is amazing that God would care to listen to our prayers. When someone comes to us again and again with needs, we tend to get worn out and we tend to feel like we need to find a way to avoid that person. And yet our Father asks us to come again. Talk to him about your spiritual needs. Confess the sin that you've been struggling with and rely on his grace to sustain you and to help you kill that sin in your life. Come to him with your physical needs as you maybe struggle to pay a bill, or as you think about meals and the fact that he is providing and sustaining your family. Come to him with thankfulness. And so as we see God rightly, and as we see ourselves rightly, we begin to see how necessary it is to come to our Father in prayer. So before we finish this morning, I just want to lay out a few ways that we can begin to grow in prayerfulness. This is a wonderful, the Lord's Prayer is a wonderful example for our own personal prayer lives, but it's also something that is a communal prayer. It says, "Our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts." You know, it's something that the church as a whole can pray together. And so I was kind of thinking, how can, if this is something that you struggle with, to be consistent in prayer, what are some ways that you can begin to begin praying so that you can get into a better habit of resting and relying upon God? And so the first one is take advantage of prayer as a family when you gather to eat. I know most of us probably do it, but it's become almost this routine where it's like almost the same thing every time, and it's more like just words than it is truly being thankful to God for what he is, how he's sustaining your life. And so don't waste your prayer time at meals. I'm not saying it's bad to thank God for the food. We should do that, but don't make it just this repetitive routine. Use it as an opportunity to be reminded of your neediness before God. Another is to begin devoting more time to prayer in community. So this could be in your community group or a group of believers who meet together and not just spend time praying for sick friends and family. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. That's wonderful. But you should also be open with your group about your spiritual neediness as well, and pray together that God would deliver you from sin, from apathy, from faithlessness, or even from a lack of prayer in your life. And as you do that, it might be a little bit uncomfortable at first, because I think most of us are not used to being open with what's going on inside our hearts. And so it could be uncomfortable, but I think you will find grace and accountability among the people of God, especially as they realize their own need of God's grace in their lives. And another way, and I made a mistake in first service, this is something for members only. If you're a covenant partner here at this church, join the church prayer list. And if you're not a covenant partner, become a covenant partner and then join the church prayer list. And every week, a list is put together of needs and prayer requests among our church. And use that as an opportunity to begin praying for the people of God here at Woodridge as you come before God with the needs of other people as well. And there's so many ways that we could do this. Another one is our prayer meeting that we're going to be starting once this series is finished. Join that. Come. I think it's on Wednesday mornings at 6:45. I could be wrong, but come to that and use that as an opportunity to join together with others and pray. meet with a friend, another believer to pray. Pray with your spouse and your kids before bed, thanking God for his grace for today and asking him for grace for tomorrow. There are so many ways we can begin to put this in practice. And when we see God and we see ourselves rightly, every occasion in our lives becomes an occasion to pray. And we can do this with confidence, knowing that our loving Father, he delights to hear from us. And so let's do that right now together. Let's pray. Father, as we see in your word, we truly are needy people, not just physically, but especially spiritually. Father, we are so thankful that you sent Christ to die on the cross to meet our greatest need, our need of forgiveness and salvation. Father, if there's anybody in here this morning who's relying upon their own efforts to find forgiveness, to be brought into a relationship with you, reveal to them that it is worthless to try to do it in and of yourself, that we are utterly reliant upon you for forgiveness, for salvation. Father, encourage the struggling, those who struggle to remain consistent in prayer. Father, expand their view of who you are. Help them to understand who they are and how truly dependent upon you they are for everything. And let that compel them to come before you often, asking for their needs to be met, trusting in you to sustain their spiritual and their physical lives. Father, as we think about prayer and as we continue on next week to talk through the Lord's Prayer, may you make us a people who are excited and passionate about prayer. Father, we pray all these things because of what Christ has done, and we pray these things in his name and for the joy of your church. Amen.